around people basically using the Black Lives Matter march as a Coachella, almost like Coachella photo shoot opportunity. And I'm like, girl, you got it all wrong. You know, like, this is not how it's supposed to be. And don't pay lip service for a season. This is not a seasonal thing. Mm-hmm. It's not good for a season and then you move on, right? This will be a change in our culture that should be everlasting. Mm-hmm. And so don't jump on the bandwagon. Listen, if the, you know, it's like, this isn't something that's supposed to call attention to something that is important for everybody to change. Mm-hmm. And it is not an opportunity for marketing. No, that is what I have a real problem with. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is not a marketing opportunity. I hate it when people turn unfortunate circumstances in important movements and make it into a marketing opportunity. Like all these pride collections. I was like, when did gay pride become the new Valentine's Day? Like, I don't understand. I mean, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of rainbow clothes out there this year because no one can sell any of that rainbow clothes this year because there was no pride.
Ooh, break it down, brother.
I was like, you know, I was like, girl, this is the situation. It's like, look, you know, Stonewall, the whole movement was started because of discrimination against the gay community, okay? And now it should not become, it's our community showing our pride. And it is not an opportunity to buy more merch.
Taking a photo and posting it on Instagram and saying, oh my God, like I love my gay friends, you know, and that's just, you can tell it's become a trendy thing. And you're right, it's like Valentine's Day, you know. And
of course
just,
they love their gay friends or else their hair makeup looks like a mess.
That's very true.
He said it.
You know what I mean? I mean, of course you love your gay friend. You look like a hot mess.
No, definitely. I mean, I absolutely would be nowhere. You'd be nowhere without Jason Wu, you know? Exactly. And so how do you guys think you decipher for both the Black Lives Matter movement and for, you know, gay pride, how do you guys decipher people who are performative or companies that are being performative and companies that are actually doing something, you know, because I want to shop from the companies that are actually doing something, right? Like, I want to support those companies. So how do you guys think they're, like, where do you guys...
Well, I think there's a lot of tokenism, and I think that as, you know, a customer or a collector, you can make a statement with your wallet and with the dollars that you spend and what you choose to purchase, and I think that we have to do the work as consumers to be really thoughtful in terms of who we want to support now more than ever. And so I think with, you know, all of these companies and designers saying Black Lives Matter and focusing on equality, well, what are you actually doing about it? And taking the time to really think through who you want to support with the dollars that you're spending. What does that designer stand for? What is that designer saying with their work? And what are they doing with their actions? I think this is going to be a time of change.
Yeah,
I think so. And I think just by wearing a Black Lives Matter hat or something doesn't mean, like, you believe that. You know, I think how about, like, standing up for somebody in need when it's, you know, sometimes the strongest actions are not the loudest ones.
Correct.
You know, and I think personally am not, you know, I worked with the Obama administration for 8 years, you know, like, for the entire 8 years. You know, from day one to the last day. And, you know, I didn't ever post once on social media, you know, because, you know, I was like, you know, Michelle Obama is not a celebrity. She is a political figure and a very important one at that. And also a great example and an advocate for many communities. And I don't want to sell clothes off her back. This is not what I'm doing here, you know. I feel like a lot of times, you do things, but you don't have to yell and shout it out and say, hey, I've done this. Hey, I've done that. Or like, whatever. If you want to do it, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody has to know about it.
I have to say, though, you didn't yell, man, but I was.
That was
first inauguration, when I saw her in your dress and Isabel's suit, I, you know, near brought tears to my eyes because I saw, wow, she is coming out of the box doing this differently. It's like she is celebrating the uncelebrated. You know, the would-be wow. unseen in that platform. And I was just so proud on so many levels that day that I'll never forget it.
It was a life-changing moment for me, and also being able to donate this gown in the Smithsonian, where this was the first time in history that happened, right? Where mm-hmm. First Lady donates her gown to the Smithsonian in public. And mm-hmm. she invited high school students in fashion in New York to attend in the audience. And that was really, you know, because I did a seminar with them afterwards. And what's very interesting is I'm the first immigrant, me and Isabel are the first really immigrants that's ever been in that First Lady's gown room, you know? And it's very, 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 yeah. And, you know, it's
you could have been from Mars and yeah.
Yeah. And there's also, a gallery of miniature that not many people know about that has every First Lady's gown made in miniature in small mannequin size. That's the first black mannequin in that entire gallery. That was very interesting. No, and they had the custom painted. It took forever. You know, it's like, I was like, that's amazing, you know? I was like, that's amazing.
Wow.
I mean, and so that was really interesting to see, right? Because I had to work on the miniature version too. And I was like, that happened. And then when you see it all in the room, you're like, oh, wow, that's something that's really, really, really history making and history changing, yeah. You know? I don't know how we went backwards slightly lately, but but you know
well,
what?
Yeah.
You know what? You know what? All of this has happened, though. All of this, you know, has brought, including Black Lives Matter, including COVID, you know, all these horrible situations have at least brought the problems to the surface, including mm-hmm. everything that's happened in the last 3 years. It's not that the problems weren't there before. They were just hidden in the nooks and crannies. And you know what? Now they're out in the surface and they're out in the open. And you know, that's the best way to get rid of
it. I'm personally a big fan of Michelle Obama, just who she is. And I found her to be a really, really respectable person. And I read her book and she has this entire section where she discusses how, you know, like she would go out and do all this stuff, but all anyone would write about was what she was wearing and her clothes. And she talks about how, you know, that was such a focus for some reason. She would, you know, do something incredible, and then everyone would be like, oh, what was she wearing, you know? And so she kind of talked about how, which is a problem in itself, but, you know, that's a whole mm-hmm. another box of worms. But, you know, she kind of talked about how once she started realizing that what she was wearing was saying something, she decided to do something with that, you know, and actually speak with her clothing. So I think it's incredible that all three of you guys have worked with her and have designed with her, because, you know, it's not just because she's like, oh, pretty. It's like she wants to say something with your clothing and what you put on her and how you dress her and things like that. So how did you guys all get to work with her? I guess Monique,
yeah.
I was sworn to secrecy.
Oh, okay.
she was actually a client before, so.
Okay. What about you, Bob?
Okay.
And you know, a friend of mine, Duro Olowu, the British designer.
Okay.
I love
called me up and he's just like, hey, are you doing anything for Michelle? And I was just like, no, but I'd love to. And then he connected me with, what is that store in Chicago? Oh, do you remember that? Oh, man. I'm having a senior moment. anyway, and that's how it all happened, like then that we met Meredith and
awesome.
It all.
And has all this, you know, Michelle Obama, and you know, she's I love her, and she's such a huge name for like in Italy for Francesca. Like, does all of this reach you as well? Like, are you guys all in tune with, you know, I just don't know what it's like to be in Italy and live in Italy as much as I wish I could say I did know what it was like. Has all of this reached you guys? Like, has the Black Lives Matter movement reached you guys? Gay Pride reached you guys? Obviously, I assume you guys have all of those like elements in Italy, but you know what Michelle Obama is wearing, is that something that Italians are looking at or concerned with?
Yeah, I think I personally, well,
definitely all those things reach us, and also is a part, maybe not that big, but it's a part as well for Italian society that, and again, I think it's something about culture that we have to change from the root. We have to change from the beginning of the education of our children, of our new generation, through higher standard of myth, of icon, and so on. The things according the Black Lives Matter, or the things according to the Pride, or the same things according to the slow fashion after COVID. Mm-hmm. I mean, as Jason would say, I hate the fact that these things become a marketing thing. So I think all of us, we are educated with all life matter. It's not just Black Lives Matter. And as Ty would say, it's not because of Black people have been killed that we have to focus on that, and not on the fact that a policeman put the knee on, like on the neck of one person. So I'm shocked somehow about the fact that as a human being, we need those kind of things happening to stop and understanding what is mm-hmm. happening. Like, as well in fashion, like all the CEO of the huge brand that brought like a normal fashion week to 8 fashion week, bringing people from cruise collection, pre-collection, show collection all over the world. Now they're all say, oh, we need to be slow and we need to be more sustainable. But who is the people that bring the system from 2 fashion week to 8 fashion week?
Yeah.
So what is happening? So this is what I really hate, and I feel it's something that becomes like marketing things. That's why I don't want to do anything about Black Lives Matter, because a lot of my friends are Black. We are with Black people, with Chinese people, and I think just lives matter. So as when we talk about gay pride, I'm also kind of shocked, because like gay people, they want to have this kind of recognition, because if we are all like similar, we are all human beings, why do we want to have this I don't want to have a recognition to be a woman. And this is the reason why a lot of time I also hate when they do like females, they're not be treated as a male. I always find my space, and I always be treated exactly as the other. So exactly as Susan would say, I don't want to say like, this season I'm going to choose Black model because everyone on the fashion week is going to have Black model. Mm-hmm. Because probably this is something that's going to happen. And why the things should happen? Why we need to become racist with the Chinese or the white one? Because I think this is something that is happening always. And after immediately get changed into something that is advertising driven, which is something that I hate. That's why I think is about like speak not that loud and helping people to change their point of view from the roots, helping new generation understanding that we are similar, and that if you're Black, white, or whatever, doesn't make any sense. COVID that needs to help us to reflect on that. It's not the COVID that helped the CEO to understand that we need less trip and less mass market, or less trip around the world with the gas of the airplane or whatever. And it's not like the killed person that need to help us to understand that all lives matter. So
I think you know, the point in which we succeed in this movement and succeed in making sure that everyone is equal and has equality is the point in which we no longer need to say Black Lives Matter, because at that point, you know, it's not one group needs help anymore. You know, it's at the point where we can say every single person is on an even playing field. We don't need to necessarily, you know, like for example, like now we're, you know, you have all these companies hiring Black models and hiring, you know, pushing forward their Black creators and pushing forward having a Black C-suite, you know. And I think the point in which we become successful in making sure that everyone is equal is when we no longer have to push these things forward, because they just are, you know. It's no longer something that we have to broadcast and mention, because it's just part of our everyday lives. It's normal.
Yeah, but to make this happening, to be part of people's life, we need to raise up the level of education of people. Because if a young generation just starts to see black people on the Instagram, we're just going to keep that for this season, as we say, because it's fun, it's trendy, is the trend of the moment. But doesn't have to be that. And all that needs to come just from education and from background, from family, from healthier life of everyone, thanks to the government, thanks from people that really can give job and can make a healthier level of life in different parts of the world.
Yeah, and what Francesca said, just to add on to that, yeah, when it's a point where it's no longer Black Lives Matter, like when I had a chance with Fashion Fights Cancer just to do the program, Monique and Byron are two of the most talented designers I've ever seen in my life. So it didn't matter if they were Black. Yeah, it's great that they're Black. It's just they have great work. What they do is great. It's on a high level. So you're right, Fran Francesca. It's a point we have to get to where it doesn't matter. Look at their work. Whatever they're putting out, that great work, you should buy it. It doesn't matter.
Think, for example, according to what you say on the beginning, you were talking about this person that has the cancer on their arm, but her work was so good. So I also think that, I mean, she's just an artist, as everyone else. I mean, you can see people like drawing with the foot. You can see people that don't have the heart, like, and they draw with the other part of the body. They don't have the hand. So, but why should we focus on that? I think we are just artists. I mean, if my visual is from a white woman from Rome that has been turned around the world, that is a designer, my perception is that. And what you receive is just my art piece, not who I am. After, if you want to investigate who I am, can be just a nice story to tell. So as can be the nice story of the people that lose the heart, like the hand, and they draw with other parts, or they have beautiful work, but it's because we are in a creative field, is that creative field that needs to speak for everyone and need to like increase the sensitivity of people, need to increase the cultural level and need to give his voice to make, as you say, an equal world for everyone, despite of everything, sickness, disease, black, white, because if not cared, we're going to fall down in another side of racism. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm scared, for example, where a lot of people after Balenciaga show with a very triangular face, a lot of people ask for surgery for having triangular faces. Now, even that can be too much for the society if we don't give a level of understanding, because that one gonna be something iconical in the opposite side. So it's not the normal beauty, it's another type of beauty, but that can twist the mind of people into something that is like diverse, but that is something that need to be reached by artificial media, and that can be another scary thing. So I'm scared that we fall down in different side of racism if we put attention in that way.
For a moment, call out, once the conversation goes away because we assume that it's all been fixed, one thing we've learned, we can't do that. We cannot afford to do that because it doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. And if we don't put at the forefront of our own consciousness, you know, a priority to consider everyone,
actively,
everyone will not be considered. I had to call my own self out. And this is one of the conversations I had with a Black friend, because in an effort to be like this true egalitarian, you know, I realized I have to work harder to extract the Black resources to even put in the playing field, because they've been systemically eliminated from the list that's in the forefront of your thinking. So it's important, if you want to have a woman in the playing field,
you have to
have that in your thinking to look for female candidates that there are, because all the museums for so many years, it's like they're all white male artists. I mean, you have to have it as a mission statement, because nobody talked about that until very recently.
It's systemic.
Yeah. Sorry, but what about, I agree with that, but I just want to give you a question, which was the question I always give to my students as well when we talk about this topic. What about if you are in a museum, okay, you are the direction of museum, and you say like, okay, I have 10 places and I want to have definitely a balance between men and women. So I don't want to have all men and I want to have at least two women, let's say, okay, to start to get balance. But what about if 10 men or 20 men, they are much better creatively than the two women? This, I mean, an opposite side of racism, because at that point we start, not that we are all equal and we are all artists to be judged. We start that we are male and female and I need to have 8 men and 2 women. But what about if that 2 women, by chance, they're not as good as the men creatively?
Francesca, by the law of women, it would never happen.
I want to see Monique, what Monique got to say about that.
I think that part of the problem when you look at that, of course, you don't want to just hand, we don't want this to just be about handouts and tokenism. That being said, if you say, okay, why there are 8 male artists that are much better than these 2 female artists, I think the question is why? Why aren't there more female artists that have exceptional work? Well, is it because we weren't given equal opportunity, equal education, equal mentorship? Because probably there are enough women who have exceptional artistry and work that aren't being recognized. So if you take it back to Black Lives Matter, in the United States, the average Black person makes 10 times less, 1/10 of what a white person makes. That's completely unacceptable. And when we look at healthcare issues, you know, Latinos and Blacks are exponentially at greater risk to contracting COVID and to many other issues from a medical perspective. And these aren't just like, this isn't happening by chance. The way that we've set up our system is part of how we've created the fabric of the United States. And we need to go back generations to unpack it and understand it. And we, as Byron said, we all have work to do in terms of recognizing what we can individually do. And it takes work to be an anti-racist. I mean, sitting down, taking the time, reading, understanding where we come from, understanding policy, understanding where we can go. And I think using our voices to get young people and get all people out there to vote. I encourage everybody who's listening to this and everybody on the panel to join Vote Save America, where you can take a few hours a week or a few hours a month to encourage those in battleground states to get out and vote in November, because it's going to be a tight race, unfortunately, because of the Electoral College and the way that the United States, our voting system is set up. But I think that we all have work to do in terms of providing mentorship and opportunity, equal opportunity. And of course, we want all lives to matter, but until Black lives matter,
Don't forget that this situation of Black Lives Matter bring you American people to have the chance to give the atomic bomb in the hand of Kanye West. So I would be there as well. I mean,
I can tell you I will not be voting for Kanye West.
No.
I mean, from an Italian point of view, that is what has
to be. Hopefully no one plans to vote for Kanye West. But yeah, so thank you guys so much. I think we've had such a wonderful discussion. I kind of want to leave on Monique's note because I think that was a wonderful point that you have made. Does anyone want to give any final statements or anything like that? Anything left they want to say to leave us off on? I think Monique's point was perfect, though. Does anyone?
It was just awesome to meet you all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, perfect. Well, that is all we have today for FFT Therapy Podcast. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you to our incredible panel. I think we had some wonderful discussions. It was incredible hearing all of your thoughts and everything. I think we started talking about COVID and then just went into everything else. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening, guys. And that is a wrap.
Thank you, Jay. Jason. Thank you, Monique. Thank you, Francesca. Thank you, Byron. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Bye, guys. I love you guys.
Bye.
Thank you.